ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिदन्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलाशलाकाय चक्षुरुं मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैताकराधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम 10th चैप्टर 4-5 वर्स। बुद्धिर्ज्ञानम् असामोह क्षमा सत्यम दाम साम सुखम दुखम भावो भावो भयम चभ्ययम एव च अहिंसा समत तुष्टिस् तपोदानम यशो यश भवन्ति भाव भूतानम मत एव पृथक विध। इंटेलिजेंस नॉलेज फ्रीडम फ्रॉम डाउट एंड डिल्यूजन फॉरगिवनेस ट्रुथफुलनेस कंट्रोल ऑफ द सेंसेस control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy. All these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Purport, the different qualities of living entities, be they good or bad, are all created by Krishna. And they are described here. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in the proper perspective, and knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit attains only to matter, and it is not accepted here as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs. Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete. Asamoha, freedom from doubt and illusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Slowly but surely, he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution. Shama, tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Satyam, truthfulness, means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way so that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief and if people are warned that he is a thief, that is the truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. Control of the senses means that the senses should not be used for unnecessary personal enjoyment. There is no prohibition against meeting the proper needs of the senses, but unnecessary sense enjoyment is detrimental for spiritual advancement. Therefore, the senses should be restrained from unnecessary use. Similarly, one should restrain the mind from unnecessary thoughts. That is called sama. One should not spend one's time pondering over earning money. That is a misuse of the thinking power. The money should be used to understand the prime necessity of human beings, and that should be presented authoritatively. The power of thought should be developed in association with persons who are authorities in the scriptures. Saintly persons and spiritual masters and those whose thinking is highly developed. Sukham, pleasure or happiness should always be in that which is favorable for the cultivation of spiritual knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And similarly, that which is painful for which causes distress is that which is unfavorable for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Anything favorable for the development of Krishna consciousness should be accepted, and anything unfavorable should be rejected. Bhava, birth, should be understood to refer to the body. As far as the soul is concerned, there is neither birth nor death. That we have discussed in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Birth and death apply to one's embodiment in the material world. Fear is due to worrying about the future. A person in Krishna consciousness has no fear because by his activities he is sure to go back to the spiritual sky, back to Godhead. Therefore, his future is very bright. Others, however, do not know what their future holds. They have no knowledge of what the next life holds. So they are therefore in constant anxiety. If you want to get free from anxiety, then the best course is to understand Krishna and be situated always in Krishna consciousness. In that way, we will be free from all fear. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37, it is stated, Bhayam dvitiya abhinna vesatasyat. Fear is caused by our absorption in the illusory energy. But those who are free from illusory energy, those who are confident that they are not the material body, that they are spiritual parts of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who are therefore engaged in the transcendental service of the Supreme Godhead and have nothing to fear. The future is very bright. This fear is a condition of persons who are not in Krishna consciousness. Abhayam, fearlessness, is possible only for one in Krishna consciousness. Ahimsa, non-violence, means that one should not do anything which will put others into misery or confusion. Material activities that are promised by so many politicians, sociologists, philanthropists, etc., do not produce very good results, because the politicians and philanthropists have no transcendental vision. They do not know what is actually beneficial for human society. Ahimsa means that people should be trained in such a way that the full utilization of the human body can be achieved. The human body is meant for spiritual realization. So any movement or any commissions which do not further that and commit violence on the human body, that which furthers the spiritual future spiritual happiness of the people in general is called non-violence. Samatha, equanimity, refers to the freedom from attachment and aversion. To be very much attached or to be very much detached is not the best thing. This material world should be accepted without attachment or aversion. That which is favorable for prosecuting Krishna consciousness should be accepted. That which is unfavorable should be rejected. That is called samatha, equanimity. A person in Krishna consciousness has nothing to reject and nothing to accept, save in terms of its usefulness in the prosecution of Krishna consciousness. Tushti, satisfaction, means that one should not be eager to gather more and more material goods by unnecessary activity. One should be satisfied with whatever is obtained by the grace of the Supreme Lord. That is called satisfaction. Tapas means austerity or penance. There are many rules and regulations in the Vedas which apply here, like rising early in the morning, taking a bath. Sometimes it is very troublesome to rise early in the morning, but whatever voluntary trouble one may suffer in this way is called penance. Similarly, there are prescriptions for fasting on certain days of the month. One may not be inclined to practice such fasting, but because of his determination to make advancement in the science of Krishna consciousness, he should accept such bodily troubles when they are recommended. However, one should not fast unnecessarily or against Vedic injunctions. One should not fast for some political purpose, that is described in Bhagavad Gita as fasting in ignorance. Anything done in ignorance or passion does not lead to spiritual advancement. Everything done in the mode of goodness does advance one. However, and fasting done in terms of Vedic injunction enriches one in spiritual knowledge. As far as charity is concerned, one should give 50% of his earnings to some good cause. And what is a good cause? It is that which is conducted in terms of Krishna consciousness. That is not only a good cause, but the best cause. Because Krishna is good, his cause is also good. Thus, charity should be given to a person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness. According to Vedic literature, it is enjoined that charity should be given to the Brahmanas. This practice is still followed, although not very nicely in terms of the Vedic injunction. But still, the injunction is that charity should be given to the Brahmanas. Why? Because they are engaged in higher cultivation of spiritual knowledge. A Brahmana is supposed to devote his whole life to understanding Brahman. Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. One who knows Brahman is called a Brahmana. Thus, charity is offered to the Brahmanas because they are always engaged in higher spiritual service and have no time to earn their livelihood. In the Vedic literature, charity is also to be awarded to one in the renounced order of life, the sannyasi. The sannyasis beg from door to door, not for money but for missionary purposes. The system is that they go from door to door to awaken the householders from the slumber of ignorance. Because the householders are engaged in family affairs and have forgotten their actual purpose of life, awakening by Krishna consciousness, it is the business of the sannyasis to go as beggars to the householders and encourage them to be Krishna conscious. As it is said in the Vedas, one should awake and achieve what is due to him in this human form of life. This knowledge and method is distributed by the sannyasis. And charity is to be given to the renouncer of life, to the Brahmanas, and similarly good causes, not to any whimsical cause. Yashas, fame, should be according to Lord Chaitanya, who said that a man is famous when he is known as a great devotee. That is real fame. If one becomes a great man in Krishna consciousness and it is known, then he is truly famous. One who does not have such fame is infamous. All these qualities are manifested throughout the universe in human society, in the society of demigods. There are many forms of humanity on other planets, and these qualities are there. Now, for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates all these qualities, but the person develops them himself from within. One who engages in the devotional service of Supreme Lord develops all the good qualities as arranged by the Supreme Lord. Of whatever we find, good or bad, the origin is Krishna. Nothing can manifest itself in this material world which is not in Krishna. That is knowledge. Although we know that things are difficult, differently situated, we should realize that everything flows from Krishna, longer, but so many points are there to be addressed. Let's start with the first point. So everyone is able to hear? Everyone is awake after this long talk? Yes, okay. yeah, so everything is coming from Krishna. So good and bad is also coming from Krishna. So now the obvious question will be, if everything is coming from Krishna, then Krishna is responsible for everything. Is that correct? So, you know, if you are all quiet, then maybe I am understanding that it's probably correct. That's what you feel from within. But externally, if you say, no, it's not, then, you know. So do I understand your silence like that? That, okay, yeah, Krishna is responsible for everything. And we are just puppets.
Terrible, Prabhuji. I was on mute, Prabhuji.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so what I understand is that Krishna is definitely someone who, under whose, he, as he says, you know, Maya Adhyakshina Prakriti, under his, you know, chairmanship or leadership, everything happens, and it is with his sanction everything happens, but we have minute independence in the matters of action and karma. So, while he is definitely taking the shots in terms of everything that needs to happen in the world and how the world needs to go around, and things are happening, but we have our role to play in that entire thing, and therefore we've also become responsible for the circumstances and the situations that we are in life, and the future that we can create.
Yeah, right. That's right. So now one question can be raised here is that Krishna is a sentient, and you know, we have free will. So then, the question is that, well, how do we use the free will, and why do we have the free will, first of all?
So, why do we have the free will? Possibly, the way I see it across is can be answered like that. We have been created in the same way as Lord Himself. So, like the Lord has a free will, we are also created as a in the same image of the Lord. So, we also have a free will, but a minute free will. That is first. Now, second thing is what you asked is in terms of what do we do with that free will, right? What did you ask? Just come back to the question.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, okay, so the point is that, as it is mentioned here, that, you know, the Prabhupada says right in the beginning, good or bad, they are all created by Krishna. So what is the meaning of that then?
Good or bad, yes. So, good or bad, both are created by Krishna, but because He has given us the free will, we can choose what is that we are, you know, creating for ourselves in our life, in our circumstances, and therefore around us. So, that free will is always given to us, and of course, everything is created by Lord. So, good and bad obviously is, and as they say, you know, the Lord's backside in Bhashimad Bhagavatam, it is also explained of the Virat Purusha's explanation that the backside of the Lord is the pap and everything, which is the vikars and everything that is there, right? Anger and all the vices. So we have the free will to embrace what we are, doing. So that free will is given by the Lord to us.
Okay, and so yeah, so it's a wonderful answer. You are on the right track, and the next question is that why we have been given a free will?
Because the Lord is not wanting us to be puppets. He wants us to genuinely choose Him and be His, you know, be in His service and to please Him out of our own free will, rather than becoming a puppet. And then, you know, He is not a sadistic Lord, because He is a person who really loves us. So He has given us a free will. Like, you know, we have a child in our house, and we tell the child, okay, beta, it is your choice. You want to study or you want to watch a movie. So the child has a minute free will, and we are comfortable with that. But the point is, the choice of the child, if he wants to go out with his friends in the night, or he wants to, you know, be at home and study for his exam, that gives us pleasure. That gives us pleasure, so that, okay, the child is interested in studies, and therefore he is on the right track.
Correct, yeah. So basically, in essence, He has given us free will so that we can express our love for Him.
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay. And okay, so now this is okay. So one more question is that you know, if we had the free will, then how did we make a decision to leave the Lord?
Ha, ha, ha. This is the question which I asked when I came into the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and nobody has answered that. Not even Prabhupada, it seems, in the records. Prabhupada has also said that don't ask questions. If you are falling, if you are drowning, then first get out. If somebody is, you know, bringing you up, coming in the boat to pick you up, don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Come in the boat first. So, why did we fall down? The answer that I have created, Prabhuji, or that my understanding is that we at some point of time had this, you know, while we were in Golok serving the Lord, we also wanted to enjoy just like the Lord. So He created that universe for us. Okay, you create your world, you be happy, you are the creator, you see the fun, and then finally you like me and then you come back.
Yeah, so this is a very controversial subject matter, and as you have rightly stated, that this answer is actually unknown to a lot of degree, because it's inconceivable. And you know, inconceivable because Prabhupada said we come from Goloka, and at the same time he also says that no one can fall down from Goloka or from Vaikuntha.
Correct.
In the Bhagavatam
Parpad
he says like that. So
correct.
Now the Gaudiya Math very firmly believes in what the acharyas also reiterate about the entire parampara, and they all agree that we were never in Vaikuntha. Okay, but Prabhupada, you know, he started this revolution. I don't know if anyone said, maybe probably Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, this is something stated, like, you know, in a GBC paper, in our original position, GBC paper. That is stated, I think the devotees have stated Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, but then, you know, then some Sanskrit scholars, they say that, well, you know, the translation is not like that. It actually means differently, something like that. So that's a big controversial question. Where do we come from? And, you know, see, the idea is that basically why I'm asking, I'm not here to answer this question, because maybe we'll have to conduct entire series on where do we come from. You know, that's a separate seminar in itself, and you know, sharing different perspectives, and you know, see, there are both things are possible actually. And when Prabhupada said something, you know, it has to be, we cannot neglect Prabhupada's statements. We cannot just say that, well, Prabhupada said this because, you know, according to some time, place, circumstance. But whatever Prabhupada said, even though it might be contradictory, it has to be reconciled. So both things might be true. It's just that, you know, we are not able to conceive that. And there are some senior Prabhupada disciples who have written, you know, they have given some description about how to reconcile these things. But, you know, like, it is, it's like, you know, it's something that is not like a shastra where you find direct answers, or, you know, or you might conclude that, well, whatever they have said is the ultimate truth. Because then there are others who will present from a different point of view. So it's very difficult to actually find out what is the truth. But here the point is that now the most important point is, because you know why we are discussing this, I wanted to come to this conclusion that actually we are also God. So everyone agrees on that, we are also God. Okay, and that's how we can understand that we are God, but we are limited God, like that. It is only the Supreme God, Krishna, Bhagwan, he is actually unlimited, but we are God in the sense that quality wise we are the same, but quantity wise we are like, there is a infinite difference. So because we are God, one cannot ask us this question that why did you make a choice? Okay, like for example, why did I leave the Lord? That is something that I cannot ask, I cannot be questioned, because the same question applies to the Lord also then. And I can ask this question to the Lord that why are you blue in color? Why do you have a peacock feather? Why do you like peacock feather? Why do you like Srimati Radharani the most? So these questions, they cannot be, we cannot question the Lord, because he's a person and he has his choices and he has created his own choices, basically. That's his own free will. And so there are certain things which we cannot actually question pertaining to our free will. Okay. So because we are all God, and that's the reason to ask a question that, why did we, leave the Lord? That's something which is difficult to understand, basically. Okay. And and as you were mentioning about that, because Krishna is creating everything, the good and bad and everything. Now, it is very interesting to know. See, although we have free will, and as you were talking about, explaining about that, if you want to love the children, we don't want to force them. And we don't want to restrict them also at the same time. We want their independence to allow them to make choices. So that, naturally they should love us. They should not love us forcefully. So now that raises a question. Okay. because everything is coming from Krishna, good and bad. And we are making this choice of selecting between good and bad. But now the most important point to understand is, what about the associates of the Lord in the spiritual world? Do they have a free will?
Yes.
They have. Do they fall down in the material world?
Once they have already gone back, then they will not fall down. That is what Prabhupada has guaranteed.
So, okay, we are not talking about the jivas. We are talking about, the Shakti Tattva, the associates of the Lord in the spiritual world, Nitya Siddhas, basically. So those who are like expansions of Krishna and Radharani, Srimati Radharani, okay. So do they fall down?
I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. They never
fall down. But yes, if the question is re-articulated, do they come down to the material world? Yes, they can come to the material world, but they don't need to fall down for it.
So they come to the material world to preach, to assist in the Lord's pastimes. They have a service. Okay, but they don't fall down in the sense that they don't forget their relationship with the Lord.
Like Haridas Thakur came down as, in his role, Yamraj came down as Haridas Thakur. So he did not fall down. He came as an associate of the Lord.
Yeah, so Haridas Thakur was incarnation of Brahma. And
Brahma,
Prahlad also.
Incarnation of Yamraj. Vidurji.
Sorry?
Vidurji was incarnation of Yamraj, Dharmraj.
Yes. Okay, so everyone knows that the associates of the Lord, they don't fall down. And they also have a free will. So now the question is that why, for the jiva, although they have free will, but they are still able to fall down. So do you understand what I'm asking? That, see, why the Lord didn't create us in a way similar to that of his eternal associates? means we have a free will, but we'll never fall down also.
I think the reason for that is that maybe at some point of time, you know, we will also become elevated and to that level where our purity and our dedication and our love for the Lord will become at that purity level that
okay,
we will
okay,
also fall down in that scenario.
We will also, but that's a, you know, that's a post-dated check. And that post-dated check, it can take millions of births. And you have to suffer through that. But these eternal associates, they are always with the Lord in the spiritual world. They have never come to the material platform. And they have never suffered like the way we suffer in terms of the body. Obviously, you know, the suffering is also there in the spiritual associates. But it's a ecstasy for them. Like that suffering is voluntarily. And it's an ecstasy for them because their intensity of love increases in that suffering. So when the eternal associates come down to the material world, like Pandavas, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, then they also exhibit all these, you know, they have to exhibit so many, like, you know, the demons, they will create problems for them and, you know, they will create all kinds of situations which are not favorable for them, you know, but still they tolerate all these things. They suffer, they undergo so much pain, suffering. But that is a different kind of suffering and pain because they are completely on the platform of the soul. So they don't realize and recognize themselves with the body. They are always situated on a transcendental platform. But for us, we have to undergo so many lifetimes. Right?
Yeah.
And that suffering is also connected to the body. It is not like, you know, we are feeling ecstasy in suffering. See, that is the reason, if you remember, I have stated this, I mean, you know, the devotees who have attended the classes earlier, you know, I have mentioned this point many times, that the in the material world, it's a balance of happiness and distress both. It's not like specially Bharat Varsha. So we have this Bhur Loka, and then we have the Bhur Loka, and then we have the Swarga Loka, the upper planetary system. And the lower planetary system, we have the Patal Lokas, right? So now what is the meaning of that? You know, the more you are in the mode of goodness, the more you can enjoy in the upper planetary system. If you are a mixture of passion and goodness, you are in the Bhumandala or Bhur Loka. And then if you are in the mode of ignorance, you are, you know, down in the lower planetary system. So again, if you logically also, if you understand the position of Bhumandala, then it is between. Not too much passion, not too much ignorance, you know, the right amount of goodness, and, you know, it's a mixing of goodness and passion, like that. Okay, and some bit of ignorance also. So it's a balanced approach, like, you know, not too much happiness, not too much distress. And what is the reason? You know, how do you understand this? Why this, you know, this system is designed in Bharat Varsha or the Bhumandala? Can someone answer? You know, I've already like discussed this earlier a couple of times. Anyone from our earlier class? Subramani Mataji, Pratik Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Anyone? Pratik Prabhu?
I don't remember Prabhuji.
Huh?
I cannot recollect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's very logical why there is a balanced approach in this Bhumandala, especially in Bharat Varsh. Because if you have too much happiness, if you have too much happiness, then what will happen?
Then people will like degrade because there is a lot of sense enjoyment.
No one will cultivate Krishna consciousness if there is too much happiness.
Yes.
Right? Everyone will forget. And if there is too much of distress, then what will happen?
Everyone will be crying.
And so in that condition also, you'll not be able to remember the Lord. Even if you do understand that you are not the body, you are spirit soul, Krishna is the ultimate lover, you have to connect with him. But if you are suffering miserably, you'll not be able to also perform any, you know, devotional service. How many of us can actually, you know, do practice, you know, devotional service in the most miserable situations? You know, when we are suffering a lot of pain, we will forget about that. You know, we'll focus on how to get relief from the pain, how to come out of the pain. So that's the reason happiness and distress are kind of balanced in the Bharatvarsha. So because only in Bharatvarsha you have the free will to cultivate Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. That's the reason from lower planetary system, earth planetary system, both living entities, they have to come to Bharatvarsha to go back to Godhead. It's very rare, extremely rare, to go from lower planetary system, upper planetary system, directly to Godhead. Unless a pure devotee will visit, give his association, and you are completely transformed. Then it's a different thing. It's a very rare thing. But otherwise, Bharatvarsha is actually the common platform to go back to Godhead. Everyone has to come here. So as soon as your piety is exhausted, then you come down from... you have to come from upper planetary system, and you have to come from Patal Loka, you come to Bhumandala, like that again. So it's a cycle of karma, and only in the human form you can get a chance to free yourself. Okay, so see, that's the reason happiness and distress is actually balanced in Bhumandala, in Bharatvarsha, basically. And so there are two types of jivas. There are two types of jiva means, you know, one is eternally liberated jiva and one is eternally conditioned. So what is the meaning? What is the difference?
Nitya Siddha means they have liberated in this material. This also they are liberated. But Nitya, eternally.
Okay.
Eternally.
Okay, so what is the difference? Yeah?
Yeah, eternally conditioned means we are in this Bhavasagara again, birth and death. So. We are under this mode of material nature and...
Yeah. Okay.
Under the influence
so
of material nature.
Yeah. So, Nitya Siddhas are the one... see, there are different tattvas, actually. Okay. And there is the Vishnu tattva, there is the Shiv tattva, there is the Jeev tattva, there is the Shakti tattva. Shakti tattva means the Shakti, the energy of the Lord. That is represented by Srimati Radharani. And so the Shakti Tattva also expands in Mathura, Dwarka, then Ayodhya, then Vaikuntha, and then coming down to the material world. Right? So the Durga Devi, that in, you know, in the material world, she is the shadow of the Chit Potency, according to Brahma Samhita. So she is the shadow of the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. Okay, because Chit Potency is actually represented by the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. So this, you know, Satchit Ananda, or you can say that the Sandini, Samvit and Ladini Shakti of the Lord, they are the Swarupa of the Lord. They are the internal energy of the Lord. And so these energies also, they expand once the Lord will expand in different Vaikuntha planetary system and in the material planetary system also. Okay. So this, you know, coming back to the Jeev Tattva, so this category of Jeev Tattva is, you know, the Jeeva is basically, as we know, that the Jeeva has, like Krishna has 64 qualities. And then the Jeeva has how many qualities? Compared to Krishna's quality, how many qualities the Jeeva has? Okay, does anyone remember the percentage? The GUI has 50 qualities and the percentage is 78%. Okay, so this is called Jeev Tattva. And the Jeev Tattva is, some jivas are eternally endowed or eternally bestowed with Samvit and Ladini potency of the Lord. So if they are endowed with this Shakti, Samvit and Ladini, then they are Nitya Siddhas. And if they are not endowed with this potency of the Lord, then they become Nitya Baddhas. So that's how actually we come down to the material platform, because we are not endowed with that Shakti. So anyways, this is also, you know, this is another thing, you know, about related to how do we fell from the, you know, whether it we fell down from the material realm or the spiritual realm. You know, that's another topic. But these jivas, so because, you know, it's all connected to, you know, we have a free will, but at the same time, we have to, like some of the jivas, they fell down also. Okay, and but some of the jivas are eternally in the spiritual world because they are endowed, bestowed with this Ladini and Samvit Shakti. So now the question will be that, you know, well, then why not each and every jiva is like that? Because as we know, it's only a small percentage of jivas, they are coming to the material world. But like, I think it's like, you know, probably I've heard or read somewhere that almost more than 90% of the jivas, they are in the spiritual world. And only, you know, a certain percentage, they are in the material world.
Correct.
Yeah, I think maybe around, like, you know, we have heard about 1/4 or something, like, and 3/4 are there in the spiritual world. So, just, you know, again, it's a material estimation, because there are, the jivas are unlimited in one sense. So, you know, we cannot actually really say that 3/4 and 1/4. You know, so, because both will be infinite only. You know, if you divide a number, you know, infinity by some number, it will be infinite.
Infinite.
And multiply also infinite. So, similarly, you know, so you cannot, anyways, but, you know, very small percentage is there in the material world, the creation. So, now the question is that why we are, you know, why we are a part of that jivas. And so, you know, this particular thing does not have any answer to, you know, to this day and age. Okay, it's inconceivable. And, you know, so we accept like that. You know, see, why I'm explaining this point? Because we were discussing that since, you know, love is there, so we have a free will. Well, the love also exists in the spiritual world. And but there are jivas and there are Shakti Tattvas in the spiritual world who also have a free will. But then why they are eternally in the spiritual world? So that's a, you know, that's another important question. So now, yeah. So now, one way to understand. See, I will give some kind of indication why certain jivas are in the material world. Okay. But and I will give you some insights on that. But I think, you know, this is a personal, you know, matter of personal realization. You know what I'm sharing. And maybe some devotees also, they have also realized the same thing, probably over a period of time. So now, anyone has read the Srimad Bhagavatam completely? Okay, anyone has read the chapters of Jai Vijay, Falling Down? Okay. If I remember correctly, it is probably, you know, in the Jai Vijay description, somewhere in the Purport, Prabhupada writes that this material world is created for the material pastimes of the Lord. So did you get some kind of hint or answer from this? Okay, let me ask a simple question. Why did Jai Vijay come down as, you know, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kumbhakarna, Ravan, and Dantavakra Shishupal?
For this, I have the answer that I have heard is because the Lord also wants to, and I'm picking from what you have just said. The Lord also wants to have, he wants to have that, enjoy the rasa of fighting, having enemies. So this is one thing that I've heard, and also, I mean, they got cursed, yes, but then connecting to what you're saying, like they have free will, but they do not fall down just like that. There is also purpose behind their falling down, and it's not just their misuse of free will. So I don't know if this is the answer you're looking for.
Yeah. So it's a good point, and obviously it's a the exact answer that the Acharyas explained, that they are eternal associates, so they never fall down. And so basically they understood that it was a desire of the Lord to fight, you know, he had a desire to fight with someone who is equal to him. And then who can be equal to him other than his devotees? Because he, in fact, he treats the devotees as superior to him. So then obviously it has to be a good match. And so Jai Vijay understood that desire. And so voluntarily, they accepted that curse, you know, because just to satisfy and to please the Lord. So the Lord desired something, the devotees understand that desire, and then they voluntarily, they choose so that they can please the Lord. That's all, you know, that is what everything is revolving around in the spiritual world. The Lord has a desire, devotees understand that desire, and then they will do whatever it makes to Lord, makes the Lord to satisfy the desire. And similarly, it's vice versa. The Lord also understands the devotee's desire, and the Lord will do anything for to satisfy the devotee's desire. So it's a dynamic both way process. Okay. So here Prabhupada says that, you know, the Lord wants to enjoy in the material, you know, material pastimes he wants to enjoy. So what is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of that? So we started with the question that why some jivas.
I have something that I was thinking about. So you said that why. So what was your question exactly again, Prabhu?
Yeah, why exactly there are some jivas who come to the material world.
Okay, with respect to this pastime of Jai and Vijay falling down and Prabhupada's purport about the Lord, this material world is created for material pastimes. Now, one thing is that in the spiritual world, no one considers the Lord, Krishna, as their enemy. They are always looking to serve the Lord. But in the material world, the point is that we are trying to compete with God. So, we are not, material mentality is what? To enjoy separate from the Lord. So, he has to, if he wants to enjoy a fight, he has to come down. And if he wants to enjoy a fight where the opponent is, as you're saying, equally matched and is fully against the Lord, like no one can fight half-heartedly. So if the Lord is trying to have this pastime in the spiritual world, even if some, you know, if devotees understand the desire, they're not going to be able to fully, like, you know, fully fight the Lord with all their with complete endeavor, like with all their faculties. But in the material world, the moment the jiva wants to enjoy separately from God, has complete envy for the Lord, then the fight is going to be more intense. So the exchange of rasa, this rasa of what we call is it virya? that rasa.
Yeah, virya means fighting, yeah, in general, like fight that exchange of yeah.
Yeah. So that will be more intense. So that is my understanding, that material world means envy, the component of envy for the Lord is there, and creating a situation where the opponent has like extreme envy for the Lord, that will make that rasa even more enjoyable. I don't know. That's how I was. I think that's what Prabhupada explained also in the purport eventually. Or I don't know. I've heard this. Maybe I've heard this thing and I'm saying, trying to regurgitate the same thing.
Okay. So Neeraj Prabhu, are you hearing?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. You have some. Do you have some video rush to say something now?
No, Prabhuji, I was on mute. I was on mute actually, so I just being just listening right now, relishing the wonderful, you know, different point of views.
Yeah. So, any comments you have about this?
No, Prabhu. Actually, I did not pay attention to the Prabhuji's answer very clearly, so I can't comment. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other devotee they would like to comment?
Yeah.
Or any question? Okay. Yeah, so one thing we can understand that the Lord has desires, and then the entire creation, whether it is spiritual or material, is the will of the Lord, finally. And another thing is that nothing is material, actually. So in one sense, nothing is material because everything is coming from the Supreme God. So everything is spiritual. The way you, like, you know, in the material world also, if you see, it's a jada tattva. Tattva means, you know, something which is like, jada means something which is unconscious. So we have this, as we know, that there is the antaranga shakti, internal energy, there is the bahiranga shakti, material energy, there is the tathasta energy, which is the marginal potential of the Lord, which is represented by the jiva. So the internal potency is the, you know, antaranga shakti, represented by the swarup shakti of the Lord. And then there is the jad tattva. Jad tattva means something which is dull matter, which is, does not have any consciousness. So now this creation is there because of the Lord's will. Okay, now why? So maybe we can connect this to the jivas who are also taking that choice to come to the material world. You know, because in one sense, you know, they are also participating in the Lord's pastimes in the material world. The only difference is that they are not endowed with the Samvit and Lajini Shakti of the Lord. And that is okay, you know, because in any case, they are going to serve the Lord in the material realm or in the spiritual realm. Now, how they serve the Lord is a different thing. Now, in the spiritual realm, they know, they are aware that they are servants of the Lord and they have love for the Lord. But in the material realm, no one has love for the Lord. So they are like envious of the Lord. But they are serving in that way. Okay, now, see, I'm not saying that they are serving in that way. You know, it's a choice that they are making. But ultimately, because the Lord's desire is there, the Lord's will is there, you know, that material creation. Now, you just imagine one thing. If material creation is there, but then no one is there, then what is the Lord going to do there? Right? So, certain jivas, they are making a choice to come to the material world. Or certain jivas who are not endowed with that potency, they come to the material world. But at the same time, the Lord is giving them the chance to go to the spiritual world. Right from the beginning. So let's say, you know, then even if they come to the material world, but right from the starting point, as Prabhupada also says, now I don't know if devotees know this, but Prabhupada says that each and every living entity, when they come to the material world, the very first position that they take, or the post that they take, is that of Brahma. So we all have been Brahmas in the, you know, many, many previous births or yugas or kalpas, like, you know, we have been Brahma, and then we fall down from that position. If we don't become a pure devotee, then we have fallen down from that position. Okay, so now you see, being Brahmas in the material universe, the Lord is always enlightening us, because we know the, you know, Brahma in the material world is coming from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. and then he is enlightened by the Lord. Right? So, we all have received transcendental knowledge earlier, but we did not choose to accept it. And that's the reason we have, like, you know, kind of going down with the free will, the choices that we make.
Prabhuji, where is it explained that we were first given as a choice to become Brahma first and we became Brahma in Srimad Bhagavatam?
I knew you would ask this question. Someone would ask this question, basically. Yeah, so this is, you know, there in the Bhagavatam also, in the ninth canto, and somewhere, some other canto also, I think, ninth canto,
ninth
and
canto.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know the exact reference of the Bhagavatam, but I can share with you a letter of Prabhupada, where in that, you know, letter, it is very clearly stated. I had shared this with my, you know, with the devotees of CC class. I don't remember if I done
share
this
that
with
letter, share that document, because what I am getting across is, I don't know, I have not read that letter and that particular verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, but what I understand, Prabhu, that each of us, right now, in this moment also, in this material world, as we are in our, you know, material bodies, Lord has, you know, given us that minute freedom, and that Brahma Tattva is still there with us. We have that power to create. We have that power to create, and what we create, we also see the results of that. So in terms of manifestation and the, you know, the entire process of creation, so that power of creation has been, you know, given to us. And also the consequences is what we see of every creation that we do. So, you know, we buy cars, or we, you know, get a new house constructed, or whatever that we do create. We start a new company, and we start a new business, and so many things, you know, all the consequences of each of these things we have seen in our life. So the whole context is that it's a wonderful thought that you have shared, but I think the creation, the power is still there with us in the present state as we are in right now.
Well, actually, not only creation, but you also have the power to maintain and destroy.
Yes, correct. I was just about to extend that.
So you have become Brahma Vishnu Mahesh, basically.
Correct. And therefore, it's a very, 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 very serious, you know, responsibility that has been given. So that minute freedom comes with all three, you know, powers.
Let me just clarify one thing. That although we have this potency because we are made in the image of God, that's the reason we have these qualities. To create, destroy, and maintain. But what is the difference? That Jeev Tattva, basically Brahma is a Jeev Tattva. He is not a Vishnu Tattva, neither is a Shiv Tattva. And who is a Shiv Tattva? Shiv Tattva is basically between Vishnu and Jeeva. He is neither Vishnu nor Jeeva. And then we know who is Vishnu Tattva. So a Jeeva can never take the post of Shiv Tattva, or he can never become Shiva. And he can never become Vishnu also. But a Jiva can become Brahma. You know, like in the Bhagavatam itself, it is mentioned, if you perform pious activities for 100 lifetimes, then the next post you attain is that of Brahma. So now, we initial point was, you know, we fell from the position of Brahma. And then we have a choice to again become Brahma in some kalpa, in some universe, depending on our piety. Okay. Now, this particular thing of Brahma, you know, we becoming Brahma, the first point. This I have read in the letter, Prabhupada's letter. I have also read in Bhagavatam a long time back. And then I have heard it from Shivaram Maharaj also. And I have heard it from another devotee also. So I am 100% sure about this. And I will also share the letter. I just have to search once again. I have already shared with the CC class devotee long time back. So, but I will, you know, I will search it also. And also to just inform you that, you know, I was very fortunate to read all Srila Prabhupada letters right from 1965 to 77. I have read each and every letter of Prabhupada, which whatever is given in the Veda base, you know, that correspondence. So, yeah, I have served all the letters of Srila Prabhupada. And I do very clearly remember, you know, this is one of the most interesting letters that Prabhupada wrote. And he has also mentioned the Bhagavatam. You know, this is there in the Bhagavatam Purport, one of the purports, I think. So now, anyway, so let's, because Prabhupada said, so let's assume that, okay, it is right. You know, we took the position of Brahma in the beginning, and that's how the degradation took place, because we made a choice. We constantly neglected to follow the Lord. Okay. And that's the reason, you know, we have come to the material, we are suffering. So, actually, if you see, the starting point of suffering also is mainly because of constant neglect of the Lord's instruction. Or you can say avidya. You know, that avidya means something which is, you know, ignorance. Avidya is ignorance. Vidya is knowledge. But avidya means ignorance. Ignorance is something that lacks knowledge. Or you can say that which lacks the right knowledge, which is, you know, and I have given this example many times also in our BG class, that, you know, right from the beginning, if you have never heard about something, then if that thing will come in front of you, you will be completely shocked, or you will be shocked, or you will be unaffected by it. Let's say for example, if I never gave knowledge, or a person never knows or sees that when they are seeing the opposite sex, what are they supposed to do? The person never sees that or never hears about it. What happens basically? So then, because you have never heard and you have never seen anyone like that, so then even if opposite sex will appear naked before you, you will not be, you know, affected by it probably, because that desire won't be born. Now it's a natural, it's a different thing that, you know, this desire like innate, and it's a natural thing to get attracted. You know, that's a different thing. But you take any example, why do you do things in a certain way? Because, or why do you act in a certain way? Because you have heard from your authorities. Like, for example, especially in India, we have our culture, tradition. We have, you know, the parents also guide us in a particular way. So we acquire these kind of qualities and we get habituated to it, right? So basically we are hearing from the, you know, starting point. So when you keep hearing about spiritual knowledge, but if you neglect that, and then you accept material knowledge, then obviously you will fall down. So one may say that, well, the Lord gave a lot of chances in the beginning, but we neglected him, we rejected his instructions repeatedly, and that's how, you know, we have fallen down. So we made our own choices, and we are suffering because of our own choices. So in that sense, you may say that the Lord is not responsible for that. You know, because we have a free will, and that free will is there because we are also God. So why do we make that choice at that moment? Because we are God. That's the only answer for that. So you cannot, so like, you know, why do I make a particular choice right now? You can say that, well, because I am just motivated by my previous impressions, my inclinations, and that's the reason I will make a particular choice. But then where do the previous inclinations and impressions come from? The starting point. So that starting point is basically your free choice. Now, why do you make at that point some kind of choice? That is, that you cannot ask the question, because that is something you have made, you know, you just make a choice. So there's no answer to that. Just like, you know, we don't ask questions to the Lord that why did you create the material world, or why did you, or, you know, why you have a sky blue color? No? Why do you stand in a three-form bending form? Why not some other form? So all these things we cannot question. And so similarly, because the jiva is also God, so the jiva also makes a choice, and then that's it. Like, you know, the consequence of the choices will be there. So, yeah, this is my understanding. And see, that's the reason, from the backside of the Lord, as Neeraj Prabhu also mentioned, that from the backside of the Lord, all the bad qualities come. They originate from that. So now, how do we understand this? You know, so we can correlate all this information, and we can say that, yeah, the Lord is creating the material world for material pastimes, and those jivas, and some jivas, you know, they will make the choice to come to the material world because they will engage in material pastimes of the Lord. But at the same time, you know, because they are responsible, and they create karma because of their own free will. So the Lord is not responsible. And if they make bad choices, then they get bad reaction. So ultimately, because the Lord is the censor of each and every desire of the jiva, so finally, ultimately, the Lord is actually the origin of everything. So that's the reason the bad thing is also coming from the Lord. Because, so in the sense that, you know, He is the creator. Like, okay, so now let's say if there is nothing bad in the material world, if no one has created bad in the material world, then there is no question of making that bad choice. So when there is something bad, then only you make a choice between good and bad. And that's how you express your free will. Right? So the bad is, you know, it's kind of created by the Lord, you know, but depending on how you take it, how you use it, that is your free will. So, yeah. I hope, you know, this makes sense to everyone. And, you know, if you have any comments or questions. Anyone has any comments, further comments?
No, Prabhuji.
Okay, does this make sense to all of you? No? Inconceivable?
Yeah, it's hard to convince people who are not able to make all these connections that you have made, that you are telling us about, the Lord wants to enjoy material pastimes. The creation is actually, the material creation is also created for the Lord's enjoyment. So people normally end up asking questions that if we have free will, and if God is all powerful, He knows that we'll misuse free will. Why does God let living entities make these self-destructing choices?
Yeah.
Why is there even these?
Yeah.
Why do these perverted things exist? Like, you know, some really what do you say? Like some crime that is there are people who perform very gruesome crimes. Okay, like so that gruesome crime. Based on your explanation, it's like that is also something that is being ordained by the Lord, because the Lord is in the heart, is giving that person who's going to turn into a criminal that kind of idea, right? That, okay, this if you want
no,
to...
No, no, no. So, okay. Yeah, okay, let me answer this also, because, I mean, I have anyways answered this question in one of my podcasts in the Kartik month. I will share the folder, that link also, because there are about 22 questions that I covered in the Kartik month, and this is one of them, that if the Lord has, if He can see the past, present, future of each and every living entity, then how do we have a free will? So the first answer is that even if the Lord can see the future and the past and, you know, present, but does not mean that the Lord interferes with the free will of anyone. He can, because that's the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Simultaneously, He also does not interfere with the free will of the person or the choices that the person will make. Okay. Now, how does the Lord know everything? It's not so difficult to understand, because for the Lord, nothing is past, present. Nothing is past and future. Everything is present for the Lord. The past and future is created in the material world because we have time factor.
Yeah.
But from the Lord's perspective, everything is present.
Yeah.
Everything is present, yeah. So when everything is present, and then He is the super soul in everyone's heart, so He knows everything. When the super soul is recording a person's past activity, future activity, present activity, then obviously the Lord can know everything. You know, everything is present for the Lord. In the spiritual realm, there is no time. There is only present. So, you see what happens when you go from, in a simple example, when you travel from let's say New York to California. So there is a time difference of 3.5 hours, right? And then let's say if you have a flight which also has the same travel period, 3.5 hours. Let's assume that, you know, currently, I don't know if we have this flight which is running so fast. Generally, it takes like around 7 hours to travel from the West Coast to East Coast. No? So let's say if there is a flight in the future which will travel in a period of 3.5 hours, then what has happened? You started at some point, at some point of time, and then you landed at the same point of time. Let's say you started at 12 o'clock and then you reached LA at 12 o'clock. Right? So what is happening here is why time is switching backwards. So can you relate this? So same thing is happening. When you go to the spiritual realm, time is switching backwards and it becomes present. So everything becomes present for the Lord. So when everything is present and he's the witness of everything, then he knows everything. So future and past, they will, what will happen is, they will merge into present. Okay.
Yeah,
so that is one understanding, technical understanding.
Club. It's like two inverted triangles. On top of each other. I think that's the example which I heard. So at spiritual world, time is gradually decreasing to almost zero, and in the material world, it's the
exactly
from zero again.
Yeah. Because there is no deterioration in the spiritual world. There is no time in the spiritual world. So then, and then we know that let's even take the example of Brahma. We say that one day of Brahma equals 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas in the Bharatvarsha. And then you go to Swarg planets, the planetary upper planetary system. One day of Swarga is equivalent to 6 months of Bharatvarsha. So what is happening? Time is switching backwards. Here we are spending 6 months, but that's just one day in Swarga. And that is not even one day in Brahma today. So time is expanding, you can say. And so when you cross the Virat River, time completely switches itself to the starting point from where you had fallen down. At some point of time, you had fallen down. And when you go back to the Viraja, you cross that Viraja, you enter spiritual realm, time will become the same. Because one moment of time in the spiritual realm is equivalent to millions and millions of kalpas in the material realm. Because time will, you can consider the limit. I mean, it's mathematical, but, I don't know how many you are able to follow this. But let's say, for example, if I live a lifespan of 1,000 years in the material, or maybe 1,000 lifetimes, but that 1,000 lifetime is still one unit in the spiritual world. Or you can say one fraction in the spiritual world. Because, the time has elapsed. So, so are you understanding? Are you following?
Yeah, kind of. It's not like millions of kalpas. It's like infinity. We can't
even... Yeah, exactly, infinity. So...
infinity.
Yeah, so basically that's the reason I said take limits. When you take limit, often, let's say for example, if you divide a number by zero, okay, so then what is the answer to this?
Infinity.
What is the answer to one, huh?
One by zero is, anything by zero is infinity, right?
Exactly, and why it is infinity? So that is very... We can understand this clearly when you take the limits. So limit of the denominator tending to zero. So let's say, for example, when you have a big number, let's say 1 divided by 1,000.
Yeah.
What is the answer? 0.001. right? Yeah. 1 divided by 10,000, it becomes more small, smaller, smaller, smaller. But then when you, now you are increasing the denominator, but when you decrease the denominator's value, then let's say it makes you make it 200. 1 upon 100 is what? 0.01. Then 1 upon 10 is 0.01, right? And then 1 upon 1 is 1. And then you go down below further. So you make it 0.1, 0.2, point, you know. If you keep going down, you as you tend towards 0, the number will, the answer will become magnified. It becomes bigger and bigger. So finally you'll get infinity, because as soon as the number becomes 0 or it tends to 0, you have infinite. You know, you cannot, you don't know that number. It's such a big number like that. So similarly, the same thing applies here also. Right? So from the rod's point of view, from his perspective, everything is present, because there is no time only for him. Time does not exist in the time which is there in the material world is not there in the spiritual world. Okay? So is this clear for everyone?
Yeah, but still, Prabhuji, I'll go back to that question. This part.
Yeah.
Okay, to me it's clear, but I still have that question that when you were, if I am understanding it correctly, you said every action that we perform, every activity that's happening is actually something that has already, for which there is a precedent. So the Lord has either created that activity or, because I'm thinking that, again, that example of that question about people who commit violence, do some violence, that idea, why does that idea even exist, that this kind of crime?
See, as I said, that the starting point is avidya. So that the starting point, avidya, means that you are instructed by the Lord or you are instructed by the representative of the Lord, but you neglect that, you reject. So that desire to do something is your desire. It is your choice. The Lord does not force you. The Lord does not interfere with your desire. Because if He interferes, then you'll become a puppet. So that is definitely not there. And now, why did you make that choice? As I said earlier, it does not have any answer. Because, or you can say that the answer is because you are also God. So you cannot ask that question, that why did you desire like that? Because it does not have any answer. It's your own choice. Just as we don't have any, like, you know, I say, Aritra, why do you like this? Why do you like that? You will say, well, I just like it. There is no particular answer for it. You just like it, right? So similarly, because everyone is an individual soul, and because we are all God, so whatever choices you are making, it is your choice. And with that choice, you entangle yourself in the material world. So at this point of time, you can say, well, yeah, you are probably being guided by your previous impressions. And that is the reason you are committing that crime. Okay. But then, okay, so there are two concepts here. First of all, it is mentioned in the Mahabharata that you, when Vidura was continuously preaching to Dhritarashtra Maharaj, you know, that you should somehow, because he understood, you know, that Duryodhan and his brothers, they were planning to kill Pandavas through the Lakshagra. So he went to Dhritarashtra and he told him that you should avoid, should not allow your son. And then Dhritarashtra replied that when everything is destined by the Lord, then how can I change anything? And then Vidura answered that it's not, don't think that everything is destined. What is destined is, whatever you are going to get, but you always have a free will. So the consequences that you are going to get is destined, but what choices you are going to make, that is not destined. So that was the answer of Vidura. Okay. So obviously we can easily understand and relate to this, because who is the giver of that results? It is the Supreme Lord. So he is the one who actually who gives the consequences of the results. But the choice itself is made by you, and depending on that choice, you are entangled. Okay, so it creates karma and it creates further karma, and then, you know, you have different kinds of karma, prarabdha karma, prarabdha karma, bijam kutam. So the desire to commit sin is coming from the previous impressions, because the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that He is the one who gives knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Right? So, unless and until... So, okay, now there is an interesting concept here. You can ask this, that, okay, then, we are mentioning about previous karmas. So, does it mean that we are governed by the previous karmas that we made? And then how can we get escape from that cycle? Because we are just acting according to our past karmas. And then you trace back to the past, and you can say that, well, what is past actually? Because we have been taking so many lifetimes, and each and every lifetime is adding so much of karma. So then, you know, how to get rid of this? And so it is mentioned, you know, that those who are in the mode of ignorance, generally they cannot exercise their free will, even though they have free will, but generally they are governed by their past karmas. So they are like acting according to their previous impressions mostly. And they have very little freedom to get out of that thing. Okay. Those who are in the mode of passion, they can exercise the free will to a greater degree compared to the people who are in the mode of ignorance. And those who are in the mode of goodness, they have, you know, a lot of free will which they can exercise, and they can come out of the modes of material nature easily. And one more thing is that one can also change one's consequences. Let's say, for example, you know, we said that these consequences are destined, but if one will take guidance from the Shastra, see, another interesting point is, Baldev Vidya Bhushan also says about this, that if everything is destined, then what is the need of scripture? Why does the Lord manifest in the form of scriptures to guide us? Or to, you know, because scriptures are the manuals, you know, and we act according to the scriptures, do's and don'ts. So if everything was destined, then why we had the scriptures? This is the argument of Baldev Vidya Bhushan. And obviously, this is very logical. If what is the need of Guru Sadhu Shastra? You know, if everything is destined. So, it's not that everything is destined. Yeah, your consequences become destined, but depending on the mode you are at, you can actually get free from it. And you can also change your destination. You can also change your karma. That capacity we have. So, and that's the reason the Shastra, you know, that's how astrology also comes into picture. You know, why do we match horoscopes? Why do we go to astrologer and then, you know, try to find a solution? And then they will recommend something that you can do in order to change your karma so that you'll be happy, or you'll like many people go for so many things, material things. And they will guide you accordingly, you know, so that you can take the proper steps, measures, and you can get the corresponding result for that. Or you can completely relieve your karma, or you can decrease your suffering through that process, right? So, but who will do this? You know, someone who is actually in the mode of passion or in the mode of goodness. Generally, ignorant people, they will not do much about it, because they'll just accept life as it is. Like, for example, you know, we consider the Sudras, those who are in the mode of ignorance. You know, they don't have intelligence, and they don't use their intelligence. So they are okay with everything, you know, whatever is happening. They are ignorant about it. And so they are more restricted in their free will. And then coming down to the level of animals. So animals, they have much more restricted free will. So you can say that, you know, they can express their free will in terms of expressing themselves, crying or, you know, roaring or, you know, some kind of external expression. But they don't make choices. Only in the human form we can actually make choices, right? But the more you go towards the mode of ignorance, the more you get entangled. And the more you are towards the mode of goodness, you actually become more, that there's a more chance to utilize your free will. So that's the reason it is also said that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that the mode of goodness is actually very important for a devotee, because they can get free from this gunas in the material realm. And they can transcend to Sattva Guna, like that. So is this clear now?
Yeah, you know, Prabhuji, that day in this group only, in our WhatsApp group, you posted two videos about Vedic cosmology and the other one was Goloka chart. So in that, I was watching that first video, Vedic cosmology. There in that chart, there was a chart where Prabhuji was explaining that there are three, the gunas. Wait, let me think about it. So he says that the three gunas, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So he says that goodness is, so there is ahankar, that is, so when, I'm probably a little all over the place, but he says, Lord Vishnu, he glances. So one of the things that he has in his glance is ahankar. And in the mode of goodness, it is gyan ahankar. In the mode of passion, it is kriya ahankar. And then in the mode of ignorance,
Bala,
it is.
Bala,
Is
Bala.
it Bala? Okay, it's
Yeah, they're
Bala.
Gyan
So
Kriya Bala.
we see Gyan Kriya Bala. So we see that in the mode of goodness, there is at least there is ego, but there is knowledge also. So you are, one can get attached, even in the mode of goodness, one can get attached to being good and thinking themselves the, you know, the doer of all good. But at the same time, there is facility for them to consider their actions, like act thoughtfully. There is intelligence,
Yeah.
waves of intelligence that's enabling them to
Yeah.
look at things, look at situations with, in the context of their position as if with relation to the Lord. So I was just, this is just a comment, just kind of connecting what you are
Yeah.
explaining with what Prabhuji was explaining about the creation, the process of creation, the three modes of.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the reason we see that generally the people in the mode of goodness, they will seek for Brahman liberation or elevation to the higher planets or going back to Godhead. They'll make that choice, you know, because they have that free will. To exercise the free will, it's very open for them, you know, they are not restricted. But in the lower modes, there is, you know, more restriction. So although you have the free will, but it is like very, extremely restricted in the mode of ignorance compared to passion and goodness, right? So unless you, and obviously, you know, one, even if you get to the point of upper planetary system in that mode of goodness, but still you realize that again you fall down from there. And then Prabhupada says that even if you go to Brahman liberation, then even you fall down from there. So only stable position is going back to Godhead. Right? So because one can, from the mode of goodness, one can go to the mode of passion and ignorance. And then vice versa also, same thing. Unless and until you get, you know, eternally liberation, then it's a different thing. Yeah, so you know, we have the scriptures, we have astrology, we have so many things in the material world that itself indicates that we have a free will. And also the idea that we can change our karma, our consequences, that also suggests that we have a free will. If everything was destined, then, you know, there was no question of all these things. There's no question of the Lord also coming repeatedly, sending devotees, representatives in the form of Shastra, in the form of holy name. There's no question of that, right? So free will and the Lord's omnipotency does not make, you know, things contradictory to each other. It can exist simultaneously at the same time. Okay. And that's the Achintya Shakti of the Lord. Yeah, okay. So any other devotees, they have any comment or question about this? Neeraj Prabhu, are you there?
Actually, Prabhu, the line got disconnected, so I had just redialed and just joined in just now. So missed the last 2 minutes or so, 2.5 minutes.
Okay. Then I'm quite okay, because I thought maybe if you are not there, we discussed so many things about you know, the free will and the Lord's omnipotency.
I mean, 2 minutes back, the line got disconnected, and I just was trying to dial back. The code was not available, so I was just searching. So it took me two minutes.
So you have any, you know, comments or any questions about this? Is it clear to you, like, you know, whatever we have discussed?
Yes, Prabhuji, so far it is clear. Just one thing which I was actually dwelling with this evening, and I don't know if it is related directly or not, but in a way it is related. In Mahabharata or in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one place where, you know, Arjuna is coming back after Krishna has left for Dwarka.
And he is defeated
by the, you know, army of Bheels and all. So he comes and explains it to Yudhishthira Maharaj that, you know, now that Krishna has left us, you know, I got defeated and I was just like a, you know, like a napunsak, he explains himself, and that, you know, I was just like Arjuna, you know, can, like, I was not able to do anything, and, you know, they could easily defeat me.
Yeah.
I was just dwelling with this thought, Prabhuji, that when Krishna was there with Arjuna and he could make, you know, all those wonderful things happen during the war of Mahabharata, and Krishna was personally present at that point of time with him. But
okay,
when the same man, you know, fights the war with a smaller army, Krishna was personally not there,
then he
got defeated. So therefore, the entire, you know, the, what you call, the differential coefficient of the equation is that Arjuna was both in both places. So Arjuna cancels out, but Krishna was there in one of them and the war was won. So Krishna is the person who is responsible, as he also says in Bhagavad Gita, that I have already defeated and they are already dead. You only work in, you know, for
instrument,
me, and,
correct.
You know, as an instrument in my service.
Yeah.
But he got defeated later on. So Krishna was not personally present. So what, you know, how should I interpret this entire thing? Because I am too, I don't know, I don't want to jump on to any conclusions.
Right. Okay, so, you know, I think I can make this quite simple for you. So I will be repeating the words of the Acharyas. So they make it quite easy for us. Because these ordinary coward boys, they're all expansions of Krishna. They're all expansions of Krishna.
Okay.
So that's how we got defeated. So there is a pastime related to this entire episode, and the pastime I don't remember exactly, but I do remember that these queens, they were cursed by some sage, and, you know, they said that they told, the sage told to the queens that, you know, you'll be kidnapped, you know, by someone. Okay. And then Krishna fulfilled the desire of the sage at the same time also, so he fulfilled multiple, you know, tasks at one time. In this episode, you know, he fulfilled that desire of the, you know, the sage also who cursed the queens. And at the same time, you know, because so internally this is the reason that, you know, these all coward boys were actually expansions of Krishna. So Arjun could not defeat the Lord because he was fighting with the Lord actually. Okay. So that's how he got defeated. Second, to learn it from an external point of view, and I think this is what Prabhupada also explains in the Bhagavatam Purport. Okay, in one of the Purports he explains that when Krishna was present, Arjuna was actually empowered by the Lord. And so when the Lord departed, and when he thought that because I'm departing now, so there is nothing more left to be done now, so he also withdrew the empowerment from Arjuna. And so so that's the reason he became an ordinary, you know, person like that. So, and then Prabhupada also says, you know, I think he mentions in the purport that when a devotee feels helpless and he feels humble, the Lord will empower that devotee. And when the devotee feels proud about his service, the Lord can also disempower the devotee. So he can also withdraw the strength from the devotee. Okay. So that's the reason, you know, we say that. So there are multiple things here going on. First of all, let's understand that Arjuna is actually a Nitya Siddha associate. He's an eternal associate of the Lord. So so we actually connect this particular thing with Arjuna in an internal way. We don't connect with an external way, because external way is for us to learn. You know, it is for us to learn. It is not for Arjuna. Arjuna is already a pure devotee. There are some pastimes in some Puranas where it is mentioned that Krishna wanted to actually break the false ego of Arjuna. And, you know, he did certain things, and the Lord was actually breaking his false ego. But a false ego can never affect Arjuna, because he was actually a pure devotee. Even in the Bhagavad Gita also, you see, he was bewildered in the beginning. He forgot the Bhagavad Gita message of the Lord. But Prabhupada clearly explains that, you know, because Arjuna is a pure devotee, it's not possible that he can forget. So Krishna created an illusion so that he can forget about it. So what happens when Krishna appears in the material world? He is creating an example from spiritual point of view and from a material point of view also. So through Arjuna, he is showing the highest dharma, but he is also expressing and showing the lower dharmas. You know, like for example, there are certain dharmas which the humanity should follow. They cannot break. You know, like we cannot dance with the gopis, or we cannot dance with the wives of other women. So certain dharmas we have to follow. And so in this particular, you know, incident, what we can learn as a sadhaka devotee, that whenever we get tried, the Lord will withdraw that empowerment. Okay. So but it is not applicable to Arjuna. We just learn from his pastime. So there are, you know, layers of meanings in a particular pastime the Lord is displaying.
So how should we reciprocate or learn from this episode, that we should be humble, number one?
Yeah, exactly. That is the thing. Yeah.
And humble and what? Well, humble and devoted.
I mean that we have to always take shelter of our Guru, and, you know, we have to depend on our Guru's strength rather than our own strength. We should always seek the mercy of our Guru and the Lord. Okay, and we should always think that whatever I'm able to do, wonderful, it's all because of, it's coming basically from Krishna and the Guru. But I'm just an instrument. So coming also back to your point of, you know, the Lord showing in the universal form that everyone is destroyed, it's me who is actually, I have arranged everything. So what he's basically doing is revealing the future to him in the present. As I said, you know, the Lord is actually knowing everything. So what he's doing is just, you know, taking the future, and he's just reversing it. And he's showing to Arjuna.
He's actually like doing a predictive analysis of sorts, so that Arjuna's, you know, overwhelm is taken care of.
Correct, exactly. So he's trying to convince Arjuna to fight, okay? And he wants Arjuna to become the instrument.
Correct.
Right? And at the same time, you see, in the Bhagavad Gita also, at the end, what does Krishna tell him at the end? I have given this knowledge to you. It is up to you whether you would like to fight or not now.
Correct.
So what is the meaning of that? Yeah, so he's basically free will.
Correct.
Exactly, right? So, yeah, so the Lord's pastimes, they are all full of multiple,
layers of wisdom.
Layers, yeah, that's right.
Layers of wisdom.
So, and see, these layers are always hidden from us, you know.
Absolutely.
That's the reason, as I said in the last class, we had discussed the most confidential knowledge. And at the end, I don't know how many were there, but if you remember, I was always telling this point, that after finishing the chapter, I will reveal to you what is actually the most confidential part of this knowledge. Okay, and in the last class I shared, I don't know how many of you have heard the recording, but if you have not heard, then please do hear the recordings.
Can you please tell, I was not there on that recording, can you please tell me what was the date and what was the code on listening to the recording?
Yeah, this was last Saturday class only.
Last Saturday, okay, possibly we were out of, we were in our council meeting actually, Prabhu, on that day.
Okay, so in that lecture, you know, like we have finished the 9th chapter, and then I shared what was the most confidential part. So these things are revealed by the acharyas, you know, finally. And that's the reason, you know, all these things they have to be seen through the eyes of the Guru Sadhu Shastra. Otherwise, we cannot know. Now, to understand the Shastra, also we need Guru. As if you remember, in our Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam class, I was making this very important comment that Srimad Bhagavatam is using certain words which are not found anywhere else, actually. And then Merriam-Williams Dictionary or Oxford Dictionary, they cannot find the meaning to these words. Because these, see, how do they define the words? How do they define? Like, do you remember, you know, what I said?
Yes, I remember. You said that they actually look up the references in various places.
Exactly.
And then 5, 7, 10 places, and then this is their common elements, common denominator, they put that meaning.
Correct, yeah. So wherever they find that word is used most repetitively, they will find that exact meaning, you know, and if the meaning is consistent, let's say for out of 10, it is like 7 or 8 are saying the same meaning, then they will actually select that particular meaning. That's how they will define in the dictionary. So the question was that, you know, well, if some words are not found in any other literature except Srimad Bhagavatam, how will you give the meaning? And the answer was that they rely heavily on the commentaries of the Acharyas. Right?
Yeah.
So that's how they get the meaning. And so even from an academic point of view, if you want to understand Shastra, you have to approach the Acharyas. You know, there is no way out there. You know, you have to understand through the Guru. So that's the reason the Guru is, you know, actually Guru is actually more important than the Shastra also, because he is revealing the meaning of Shastra to us. Okay.
Mm.
In that context.
Correct.
Like that. Yeah.
Wonderful. In fact, just wanted to add Prabhu over here. Or let me first ask a simple question. Can I ask you right now about the part that you said last Guru?
Yeah, sure.
We don't get to associate with our gurus directly, in physical form. Like, we are not speaking to our Guru Maharaj on a day-to-day basis. So how should we associate with Guru? Just listening to his lectures, is that association sufficient? Or we need to be in physical contact with him in terms of phone call or mails or something?
See, to answer this very simply, I had just recently, you know, I come across share of Prabhupada. Someone had given few sentences from one of his lectures, and Prabhupada said, I don't recollect the exact word. Guru is not. I have to refer again to that. But one thing is there. So Guru is basically not. You know, what do we call, you know, like, I got that word. So Prabhupada said, Guru is a principle. He's not a physical form.
Okay, wonderful.
Guru is a principle. So what does it mean? See, most of the devotees, they have this conception. See, why do they get this conception? And why do they feel that they are not connected to the Guru? Because they see the Guru in the external form only. They are not considered the Guru as a principle. And what is the meaning of principle? Principle is actually tattva.
Tattva, correct.
So what does it mean? You know, like, so how do you explain? What do I mean by that?
So everything that the Guru does in terms of thoughts, preachings, actions, lectures, letters, everything that we can refer to and we can follow in his footsteps. Mahajano yen gata patras panta.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, whatever you said is true, but what does that mean exactly?
That, in that sense, we should, really get to understand the tattva with, or the consciousness with which the Guru is, saying something. And then follow that in our actions.
Okay. Anything more?
That's what I understand.
Yeah. Anything more? Any other devotees? Okay. So see, one thing is there. Guru is a tattva. Guru tattva is a very complex thing to understand. Because that Guru tattva is taking different forms. And I think I will explain this later, you know, because we have limited time now. It's like almost 11:30.
Mm.
Let me just finish off, you know, with what I'm going to say. Maybe in the next class, you know, we might, if you are interested, you know, we can discuss certain things about what is this Guru Tattva basically. It is the most complex thing to understand, even complex than Vishnu Tattva or Jeev Tattva. You know, it's like similar to Shiv Tattva. Shiv Tattva is also complex to understand. And why, that we'll discuss later. Okay. But coming back to the principle is that principle basically means whatever instructions the Lord is giving through the parampara, that has to be accepted and should be implemented.
Mm.
When you do that, then you can clearly understand that the Guru is just a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm.
And so you don't get attached to his physical form. See, we have to serve the Guru, you know, definitely, because we are all, our philosophy is personal. You know, we are individuals, and we are not like Mayavadis, that we say that everyone becomes one.
Mm.
You know, we are all individuals, and we are supposed to serve each other. That is our role. But when it comes to, you know, talking about the Vapu of the Guru, we have to serve the Vapu. We have to serve the devotees. But at the same time, what the Guru is giving to us, we should extract that. And it's not necessary that the Guru will present, you know, will be present in the physical form. Now, when I say he's a principal, it means that he's always present with us. And what does it mean? Like let's say, for example, now I am sharing so many things with you. Do you think that my Guru Maharaj told me this, you know, revealed all these things to me? Yes and no. The answer is yes and no. Yes and no. Why?
Because he revealed some of it.
Yeah, some of it. You can say some of it. For example, I took some, you know, siksha from Radhanath Maharaj in the sense that not direct siksha, but through his vani. That I learned what is, who is, you know, how should a Vaishnava behave, what are the etiquettes, you know. This, you know, certain things I learned from my Guru Maharaj. Certain things I've learned from different devotees. Like for example, the Vedic cosmology or the Goloka chart or any shastras I have learned from different devotees. Okay, so basically whatever, now the way I want to connect with the Lord, if I have some inquisitiveness, okay, so I have to, you know, what is the process? Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upekdekshinti jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. So one has to approach the spiritual master, render service to him, inquire submissively from him. Then they will impart knowledge to us. Right? So what happens in this process, and then we know that the Guru is one principle, means the Diksha Guru and the Siksha Guru, they all represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they are actually all one, and they are representing the Supreme Lord. So now the Supreme Lord, because we are inquisitive, we want to render service to him, he will manifest himself in these different forms. He'll come in these different forms. And he will give us opportunities to serve, okay, or to inquire from them. So now we have Prabhupada as our main guru in ISKCON. He is actually the guru in ISKCON. And then we have the representatives of Prabhupada who are helping us to understand Prabhupada's teachings. And what is Prabhupada doing? Prabhupada is just being a representative of the Supreme Lord. That's it. So if we get this point that, you know, Guru is actually, the original Guru is Krishna. Okay, so we have to identify what is lacking in us, what we need in our spiritual life. Okay, once we need something in spiritual life, we go in that direction. And then whoever helps us in getting us that, we take knowledge from them and we serve them. So it is not about just about Diksha Guru, because, you know, and you can also consider it like this, that the devotees who are helping you in your spiritual life, they are probably all sent by your Diksha Guru, or the other way around. You can also think that, you know, if someone is your Siksha Guru for a long time and then you get initiated, so then the Siksha Guru can also send the Diksha Guru like that. So that principle is one. The Lord wants to help us, and he is helping us through all these different devotees to connect to him. Okay. And so we have to take that connection. You have to take the connection. And the way to take the connection is to follow the instructions of the guru, which means that if a devotee is very sincere, then he will automatically get connected to, you know, what he wants. He would strive to get connected himself to what he lacks, what he wants, what he needs in spiritual life. So he'll start putting efforts, and then whichever devotee will be able to help him, that devotee will become the guru. So we sometimes, you know, many devotees get, you know, stuck to this point that, okay, only the Diksha Guru is the guru. And then, well, other devotees who are, you know, helping, and, you know, they are like, okay, ordinary devotees, okay. Oh, yeah. But that is not the right way to understand this. This Guru Tattva is a holistic concept. And so in that sense, we'll never feel that we are lost in our connection to the guru, because we always see the guru in everyone else, whoever is, you know, helping us in spiritual knowledge, whoever is guiding us to going, you know, back to God. So in that sense, we'll always be sheltered, and we'll not feel that, you know, oh, well, we are not connected to our Diksha Guru only. Then obviously we'll be lost, because you have not understood that what if the Diksha Guru passes away? You know, how will you connect then?
So
the Diksha Guru also wants, Prabhupada also wanted, that all the devotees, okay, now this is something really interesting. Currently I'm reading Chasing Rhinos with the Swami, the book by Shyam Sundar Prabhu. So in that, one of the contexts, you know, when Prabhupada left San Francisco and we went to New York, so he actually told them very clearly that your spiritual life is in your hands, and you are completely free to do, you know, free to decide and, you know, do what you want to do. So you are the completely responsible for your own spiritual lives. So Prabhupada, you know, told them very clearly. So at the end of the day, you have to fly your own plane, which means that even if he's there or if he's not there, if a devotee will not take the effort to advance in their spiritual life on their own, they will be stuck. Now, whether it is Prabhupada or whether it is any other great personality, it does not matter. See, even when Prabhupada was there, many of his disciples, they left Krishna consciousness, they had fallen down. Understand it. After Prabhupada's disappearance, and even during the time of Prabhupada's, you know, when he was there, still some disciples had left, or they were breaking the regulative principles. So you know, the spiritual master can give you, you know, as we know that, you know, he can give you that, he can offer you the key, but to take that key, you have to make your own effort to get there. You have to make your own effort, right? So every devotee, they have to make efforts. You know, and once you make effort, then you start realizing, if you start depending on the guru will come and teach me and reveal to me, then you will be stuck. You will not go anywhere. But when you start realizing that it's a guru tattva, and you are making relation with the instructions of the guru, what will happen? In spite of the guru's status, you'll always be connected to Krishna. So now in the future, if the guru falls down, he passes away, whatever may happen, you'll always be attached to Krishna, because your love for Krishna was never dependent on external factors. Right? So, so see, that's the reason the spiritual life runs on two parallel tracks. And that's the reason it is mentioned in the Upanishads, that implicit faith in the spiritual master and the Lord simultaneously. So you have to know this for sure, that a guru, unless he's Nitya Siddha, if he's a conditioned soul, then he might, today or tomorrow, he might leave Krishna consciousness. You know, everyone has a free will, and one can also fall down in that path. Great personalities like Brahma and Shiva, they were also kind of, you know, they were diverted. So what to speak of ordinary conditioned soul? And so we have to acknowledge that fact, and we have to make a connection with the Lord at the same time by serving the guru. But we should always have this in mind, that tomorrow if my guru will fall down, but still I will be connected to the Lord. Because we, so the Guru's role is to actually connect you with Krishna more and more, because you have to experience Krishna's reciprocation as time passes. Otherwise, you'll worship an, you know, personality cult. If the Guru does not connect you with Krishna, then you will actually worship a personality cult. So it's an external form of worship. And you will get, you know, so you will not attain anything from that worship. Right? So, if you say that only Guru and no Krishna, then it's a personality cult. And if you say that only Krishna and no Guru, then what happens? Then you are not worshipping Krishna. You are actually not worshipping Krishna, because Krishna has asked us to worship the Guru and, you know, to follow him. So that's the reason simultaneously. But our worship, our reciprocation and worship for the Lord should not be dependent on any external forms. We follow the instruction of the Guru as far as he is repeating Guru Shadu Shastra. The moment he deviates, we have to choose our track. And we have to take help of other devotees.
Perfect.
Yeah, but if we are attached to our Guru in the in external form, sentimental form, then we can be sidetracked. Then it is difficult to come out of that. So one can test one's real attachment for the Guru by how much love they are developing for the Lord.
Correct.
Yeah. So that the love for the Lord should grow simultaneously. That is what the thing is, you know. And if you love the Lord, it means the love for the Guru should also develop simultaneously. As long as the Guru is in good standing and he is repeating the Guru Shadu Shastras.
Correct.
Yeah, wonderful. So one thing always understand, the Lord is sending Guru just to help you. And he is always going to help you as far as you are sincere enough to take the help.
Yeah.
So you have to realize and understand that, you know, where am I standing, what I need in spiritual life, what I'm lacking in spiritual life, and then you take association of devotees. You learn from them, you know, and you, that's how you advance in spiritual life. So yeah, so this, you know, so that's the reason this Guru Tattva is represented by all these devotees then. So that's the reason Prabhupada says it's a principle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Because, especially in ISKCON, you know, we don't, it's difficult to get time off devotees, especially, you know, because they are all engaged in preaching a lot. Then we have to definitely find out ways, you know, to connect and to, whatever gaps we have to fill in the gaps by finding devotees who can help us.
Yes.
Like that.
Wonderful, Guruji. Wonderful. Thank you so much for what you shared.
Yeah, no problem. Too. Like, yeah.
Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.
So next time, maybe next class, you know, we'll discuss, I will share something about what is actually Guru Tattva, how it is complicated. So that we'll understand. So any other devotees, they would like to comment, or just last comment or last question before we wind up? Aditya, are you there?
I think people are on mute or something.
Okay. Pratik Prabhu, Aritra, Sudhami Mataji, are you all there?
Prabhuji, what is the service, this used to be Sabse Bolo earlier, now what is the service of conference call that you have taken? What is this telephonic service that we are using right now, conference call video?
Freeconferencecall.com.
Achha, this is free, is it? And up to how many people we can have call?
I think at one time we can have like 25 people or like something like
that. Oh, wow. Wonderful.
If I'm not wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
I mean, I have to see, you know, how many, but if I remember, maybe I think it is 25.
Yeah. It used to be Sabse Bolo earlier. Yes.
I know. We started with that only. But then, you know, after some time, like, I think it got disconnected. So
yeah, they are shut down now.
Then we came into Skype, you know, And then Skype also, the free call was like, because initially to call US and Canada was free from Skype. But also I think got disconnected later on. So then finally, you know, there are some devotees in US who are also attending our class. So they suggested that, you know, we have a free conference call and then we can connect, because all these type of conferences are quite common in the US actually.
Yeah.
So, okay, all right. So hopefully, I think maybe today is 6th, and then 6 plus 7 is 13th. So 13th on Sunday.
Very good. Prabhuji ka call kat gaya abhi. गौरांग बेटा सो गया बेटा, सो जाओ, जल्दी उठो सुबह।
हरे कृष्णा, आई जस्ट गॉट डिस्कनेक्टेड,
या यू बैक,
या या या, सी ओके, सो दिस कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल आफ्टर एवरी टू आवर्स इट गेट्स डिस्कनेक्टेड ऑटोमेटिकली,
करेक्ट करेक्ट, देयर इज अ टाइम लिमिट, या
या ओके, सो नाउ संडे, सो ओके मेबी 12th, yeah, I think 12th we can have on Saturday, hopefully. And then we are also thinking of house program either on 19th Saturday or 27th Sunday. So I wanted to know, you know, how many devotees can attend on 19th or 27th, depending on. Yeah.
Well, Prabhu, I have a program. So what time are we planning to start? If we can start, we are starting around late.
Which day you have program?
12th, I have a program, and 19th, I am out of town. So
okay. 19th, so 27th will be okay for you?
27th is fine, Prabhuji. 27th looks fine. But if you are having it with other devotees, please continue. Well, don't change it because of me only. 19th,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I will be considering the majority of devotees who can attend. Accordingly, we will decide the date.
19th, we are actually traveling. We are in a train on 19th night.
Okay.
So for 2 hours, there will be major, disruptions again and again, even if we are trying to call back again and again.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, I will just put up a message in the group and the devotees can accordingly respond. So we'll select the day when maximum devotees can attend. Okay, so next class mostly will be on 12th, Saturday. Okay, all
right.
So
what time, Guruji? Same time?
Yeah,
o'clock?
I mean, generally, yeah, 9. I think devotees, please, I think all of them should respond on time, and, the class should also start on time, as much as possible. Otherwise, it gets delayed. So, okay. Okay, all right. So, thank you, the devotees, for joining.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dandavat to you.
Dandavat. Yeah. Hare Bol. Thank you.